This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The Triple Threat, Sports Radio 610. My name is Sean Pendergast. To my right is Rich Lord. How you doing, Rich?
I'm well, Sean. I know you live by the sword and die by the sword, and the Rockets have been extremely successful living by that sword. But yeah, you said it. I mean, when you miss your last 14 shots from three-point land, you can't help but think of 0 for 27 against the Warriors. And I think you're not human if you also don't wonder to yourself, boy, could this spell the end of our season at some point this postseason? Is some elimination game going to end like it did last year? Hopefully not.
Well, the answer is, if the question is could it, the answer is absolutely yes.
It's always in play.
Three-point shooting is like golf shots, Rich. Man. They're witchcraft. Even great golfers have bad rounds of golf. And it's three-point shooting, when that's what you rely on, is a tricky thing to rely on because, look, it's not like it's total luck of the draw and that everybody shoots them equally and it's all just luck. Obviously, some teams shoot them better than others.
Yeah.
But unlike some things that are maybe a little more stable in terms of aspects to a team, like a good defensive team, generally speaking, is going to play pretty good defense every night. It's just a question of whether they can get their offense cranked up. Three-point shooting is a different animal, and what's so different about it is that when it's going well, you can bury teams. When it's not going well, you can bury your own team. And that's what happened to the Rockets last night. In my opinion, a lot went wrong in that game last night for the Houston Rockets, and we'll get into it. But at the end of the day, look, and Charles said it in the postgame last night, he's like, it's pretty simple with the Rockets because they don't make any adjustments offensively. They go out, do what they do, and if the shots are falling down, then everything else seems to kind of fall into place. And they were in pretty good position to win that game. They weathered the early storm in the first half.
They led going into the fourth.
And then then it kind of came crashing down. I think where you could see this coming, Rich, is that they only made one two-point field goal in the third quarter. That's what was a little bit of a harbinger for me.
They shot themselves back into the game from beyond the arc.
Right.
No doubt. I think they were 8 of 12 in the third quarter.
But that's not sustainable. Now, you don't expect them to go 0 for 13.
Right.
But you know that when a team goes 8 for 12 in a quarter, the regression to the mean, especially on the road against a great defensive team that's fighting for its life, you know the regression to the mean is going to be harsh. I just didn't think it would be that harsh. But
8 for 12 in the third quarter. For the second half, 8 for 25, which is about
40%.
It's
32%. Sorry. God, 8 for 20 would be 40%.
But it's not unusual production for a half of three-point shooting from the Rockets.
Right.
It just doesn't normally come, all in a rush and then a complete drought at the end. And let's also mention, the Rockets got 5 points off their bench last night.
Yeah, the bench was terrible.
The bench scoring was a huge factor in the game, 28-5 in favor of the Jazz. And honestly, I didn't know until someone posed the question after the game that Clint Capella is still dealing with some respiratory issues. Apparently, he's got two different infections that he's battling in his respiratory system. And as he said last night, and he said early on when he first was diagnosed, and I guess we all thought he was past this, it's hard to breathe. That's got to be rough when you're a professional basketball player. It's hard to breathe.
Well, especially playing in Salt Lake City where there's
that
elevation.
Too.
It's not Denver, but it's certainly not New Orleans either. So
yeah. Clint Capella was not the player we're used to seeing. He did not have the best word, I think, is the force that we normally see from Capella.
Rich, he wasn't on the floor at the end of the game. That's all you need to know.
Yeah.
Mike D'Antoni had to take him out. He was bad. He was really, really bad. And in watching it, I'm watching Clint run up and down the floor, and I knew about the respiratory thing. I thought he was over it, but I guess
too.
D'Antoni said afterwards, D'Antoni called it a virus, whatever. I'm watching Clint Capella, and in my mind, not just in my mind, I tweeted this too. I said, look, I don't wish stomach bugs on anybody, but I would feel much better if I found out Clint Capella was dealing with something like that in this game, because he looks completely out of it in this game. And not coincidentally, this was the game where Rudy Gobert, to me, had the biggest impact across the course of the game. Now, he wasn't on the floor at the end of the game either for the Jazz when they were burying the Rockets, ironically burying the Rockets amidst a sea of second shots. It was like everybody on the floor for the Jazz was a foot taller than the Rockets down the stretch. They ran out of steam, the Rockets did, And they, for as much as the Jazz, Rich, have tried to force Harden into a playing a certain type of way in this series, kind of playing on his left shoulder, forcing him to drive into the teeth of the defense and make decisions, deal with Rudy Gobert, it worked last night. The lob game was terrible, in part because Clint Capella had about a 4-inch vertical leap in the game. But I didn't think Harden's decision-making was all that great in the game either. I thought there were times he should have been shooting floaters where he's trying to get teammates involved. I don't get it when Paul and Harden drive to the lane and they draw attention and they're throwing bounce passes at the feet of big men. I think it's a recipe for disaster. It was just, quite honestly, when you look at it and you say they went 0 for 13 from 3 in the fourth quarter, I'm like, all right, well, that's, at the end of the day, that's the reason they lost, because they were leading going into the fourth quarter. Yeah, and I think they're going to be fine tomorrow night.
They were not gritty, making the dirty plays that we're accustomed to seeing them make. They were not sharp defensively on their switches or their rotations. They turned the ball over more than we're used to seeing this team do, certainly of late, led to 21 points from the Jazz. It was kind of a sloppy mess, and it was those three-point shots in the third quarter that gave them the ray of hope they briefly enjoyed. As for Capella, who, as we know, is no small part of the potential involved in this team, his ESPN reporting that his doctor has told him it will be another 4 or 5 days before he's fully recovered, and that he's suffering from both a virus and an infection. And he discovered this during a Sunday visit to a Salt Lake City doctor. That kind of surprised me a little bit.
I kind of feel like they might have planted something on him.
Really? You go to a doctor in enemy territory in a place where we will not put anything past the populace of that town to ensure that their team wins a basketball game?
Okay, so we're adding the Hippocratic Oath to that.
There's no doubt about it.
They would contravene the Hippocratic Oath in order for the Jazz to win a playoff series.
The Salt Lake City doctor reportedly prescribed medication and eye drops. Capella's eyes after the game were said to be extremely bloodshot. I guess those eye drops aren't working very well.
They're probably little drops of pink eye in there is what he put in there.
I don't like the sound of that.
He took salt water and put it in there, and he rubbed it against the dog's butt, and now Clint Capella has pink eye for the rest of the series, along with whatever virus they planted on him when he went to the doctor as well.
I mean, my
guess... The league needs to look into this. Hell, the FBI needs to look into this.
My guess is they probably sent him to a specialist. That's why it required a Salt Lake City doctor. But
Some witch doctor.
I want the Rockets players being treated by, I'm not even sure who the team doctor is these days that travels with them, but team doctor should be the guy making that diagnosis, right?
You would think. Okay, so
I don't like the sound of that.
So 4 or 5 days, so it would have been nice if the Rockets could have held on, because now you're talking about Clint Capella having 4 or 5 days that don't involve basketball with presumably, I guess, another four days or so. I mean, even to me, Rich, the biggest non-story in all this is that they've got to go play another game, and somehow this impacts their ability to play well against Golden State. If it starts to creep into them having to go back to Utah for a game six, or God forbid, come back here for a game seven, then it will somehow impact the Golden State series. But Golden State is going to close out the Clippers tonight, I believe they play.
Do they play tonight or tomorrow? No, it's tomorrow.
Okay. So they're going to close. So they're basically going to close out each of their opponents in all likelihood on the same night.
Probably.
And then have a full week before the series gets started.
And you know what? Even if it takes...
They'll be fine.
Even if it takes telling Clint, you take the night off, starting Fareed, perhaps doling out a few minutes to Nene off the bench, they can still beat the Jazz.
They can. My guess is that's not happening. They're going to at least let Clint give a go of it. Now, I'll say this. If Clint looks...
He gutted out almost 28 minutes last night.
Well, and they waited too long to get him out of there because he was a huge minus for them out there. In large part because Harden was trying to get him as involved as he could in the lob game because of Gobert. I think if Capella's still dealing with this thing, I think you start him on Wednesday night. I think you see what he's got in the tank. And if the first 5 minutes of that game, in theory, those 5 minutes should at least be the five where he looks pretty good. But if he's looking sorry in the first half of the first quarter of the game, then have a plan B ready, man. Yeah. That does. It involves Kenneth Fareed. That maybe involves going with a lineup, a smaller lineup with PJ at the five, although I hate that because it takes PJ out of the corner three role that he's in. It's almost like you're losing two guys when you've got to play PJ at the five.
Yeah, I don't like that either.
So, you know, Fareed becomes part of it. Nene, I think you can cobble something together with Fareed and Nene, especially at home. I think the bench is going to play better at home. There's just better energy in the building. I'm not worried about this series. I just hate seeing Utah fans get a moment of glory. I hate that. I don't like those people.
Well, yeah, I agree with that. And I'm the one who said I thought the Rockets were going to come out with the superior energy and desire, and that wasn't the case last night. But in part,
I was waving the caution flag.
You were. Yeah. In part, look, you mentioned it. The lob game just wasn't there.
Right.
And it was all about Capella lacking the explosion he normally has to partner with Harden in the lob game. It just wasn't happening.
Wasn't happening. All right.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.